Blog Talk Radio.
Touch us and how the Lord's working with you and inspire us to be looking out for the Lord to walk to work through us too. But
you're very welcome, Stan. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's amazing how God works through people, and He uses us all for specific things and specific reasons. And a lot of times, you know, when we receive Christ, we receive a gift. And God installs that gift inside of us. And a lot of us, we all ain't prophets, and we all don't go and say special words from the Lord. A lot of us have specific gifts, like it could be teaching, it could be singing, it could be, preaching, it could be anything like that. So a lot of us wants to have all those big gifts that we see all these prophets have, but all these small gifts is very important too. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
But it's very good, that we at least try to find our gift, A lot of us never look for our gifts, It's just we hear about it and we read about it, but we really don't really look for our gift. But it's very important to do that. Today is Saturday, December the 7th, 2013. And we're going to speak to Mark today, and I'm going to go right into the meditation for today. I do meditations from time to time, and I found a good one for today. It says, "Wise and prepared, I make the right choices." When Solomon met God face to face in a dream shortly after becoming king, he had an opportunity to ask for anything God might give him. His only request was for an understanding mind, the ability to discern right choices in governing his people. And that would be a great thing. I mean, if you was a king, you needed the discernment of people and knowing how to make the right judgments for them. It says, "Like Solomon, I have access to the understanding of mind. I have completely wise and insight spiritual perspective. This allows me to choose which thoughts I hold in mind, which words I speak, which actions I take. I exercise my wisdom in small, everyday choices while strengthening my connection with God through prayerful meditation. When a major decision is needed, I am prepared with wisdom, and I make the right choices." So what this is saying, before we make these big decisions in our life, we ask the Lord first. We go in a prayer meditation. It might not have to be a full prayer or anything like this, sitting there, just sit there and think, say, "Lord, please help me with this situation. What is the right choice, Lord, that I need to be doing here?" And you'll feel it in your heart when he answers you. A lot of people think that, the Lord's going to come out of the ceiling and say, "John, this is it." No, it don't go like it. It goes like it on TV quite a bit. But a lot of times with your personal experience, it don't go like it. You'll most likely hear him in your heart. And there's some people that does hear him out loud. I mean, I can't say everybody has their specific gift, like I said a while ago, but just listen for the Lord's word to you, and he will answer you. He'll answer you and somebody else might come and have the answer that you need, and he'll use them. He may use a TV show. He may use, God only knows how he will use different situations, but he knows you personally. He knows how you think. He designed you. He made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows how you will understand things better in certain ways. That's why he uses a different way to speak to us. Each and every one of us, he uses a specific way. And not one person is the same. So he's going to be using a different way to each of us. It's just like some people, if they hear an audible voice, they probably get scared to run or be looking for a speaker in the ceiling somewhere. They got this place bugged in here? Somebody. Then the next person would hear an audible voice, and they would be like, "Yeah, that's you, Lord." So, we all got our specific things there. But I'm going to go ahead and let Mark read Luke 9, 46 through 50.
Okay, Luke chapter 9, 46 through 50, it's, "Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us.
Yeah, that's amazing word of God right there. There's a lot of people out here, you know, they're out here praying for the Lord, and you know, a lot of times we judge them. You know, we're like, he's not the man of God like, you know, he's not doing what I think he should be doing. And a lot of times he's still working for the Lord, no matter how twisted he's got over the years. God is still using him in a way, and God may not be liking the way he's being, you know, he's using his ability that God's given him, but God is still using him in a way. And I realized a story. I had a friend of mine, or a story I heard about a minister. He was listening to another minister on TV, and he couldn't stand him. He's like, man, this dude, he does all the wrong things. He's taking money from the church. He's doing this. He's doing that. But he just wouldn't listen to him. Then one day he turned him on TV, and he heard him preaching. He said, well, I'm just going to give him a benefit of a doubt. I'm going to listen to his word, what he's going to say that the Lord's asking, you know, saying through him. He said he got a word from the Holy Spirit that he'll never forget from that guy. He said the Holy Spirit speak so clearly to him about a situation in his life that he could not get an answer from. And he listened to that one guy, and he got a clear answer from the Holy Spirit through his broadcast that he never thought this guy would even have the Holy Spirit working through him, but he did. So we can't, you know, a lot of times we can't judge a minister or a man of God because we don't know how the Lord is using him.
Right.
He might not be doing right thing in his background, you know, with his family or whatever, and God is probably working with him on that situation. But we can't judge anybody, as the Lord was saying there. But, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and play a song right quick for us all, and then we're going to get right into your interview, and we're going to get into your past and how the Lord's been working with you.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to Drive.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, we're back. We're going to get right into an interview with you here today. And, Mark, tell us a little bit about your gospel song writing.
My gospel song writing? I started when I was quite young, of course, you know. I wanted to, you know, before I got saved, I wanted to be a famous country singer someday. That was my aspiration, I guess. But I got saved around 12 years old, and I started, after that, my desire was to sing for Jesus. You know, that's all I ever cared to do.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and I started writing songs right around that time, and I guess that's where it all started. I wrote, I don't know, several songs back then, of which I probably wouldn't sing now.
Yeah.
Writing, you know.
Yeah. That's kind of amazing there how, you know, you start doing, you start singing and stuff when you're young and how you found a, like I said, like a gift that, you know, God put in you when you was born, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of us don't know that. But tell us a little bit about your prophecy and how the Lord's been speaking to you and when he started.
Well, when I, like way back then, and I want to say right up front, I just give God all the glory. I'm not anyone special or anything like that. You know, God is no respecter of persons. But I asked God to lead me with dreams and that kind of thing after I got saved, and He did. He led me with dreams for many years, and when I say dreams. If you've never had a prophetic dream, I guess you really couldn't understand because they're more real than life sometimes, and you know that they're from God. You know, one of the first dreams that God gave me concerning the ministry that's happening now, I was in this dream. I was very young. I think I was still a teenager or in my early 20s. I was quite young, but I was. In this dream, I was in a circle, if you can imagine, a room with a large circular table, and there were people all around this table, and each one was getting up and testifying of the great things that God was doing in their life and in their area, and when they finished, then this lady, she started to sing in the center of this circle of this table, and I believe it was an angel because she sounded just so beautiful. You know, it was just, I can't remember the song or anything, but it was just so nice. But while she was singing that song, God spoke to me, and I could feel His presence so powerful, and I can remember that so well to this day. I could feel His presence so strong that the tears were just coming down my face, you know, but He spoke to me, and this is what He said. He said that He was going to, it was just simple, but He said that He was going to lead me and that He was going to use me in a great way, you know. And again, to God be all the glory, you know. It's all about Jesus. But, of course, my idea at the time, I was young, and I thought, well, He must be going to use me in a great way, just like around my area. Kind of thing. I had no idea that this circle probably meant the world, and that it would be the ministry that it is today, all thanks to Him. You know,
it's amazing, like you were saying, that you was took out, and the dream is more real than normal.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I've heard a lot of ministers say this, that when they were taken out of their body, your spirit is actually taken out of you.
Yeah.
And He takes you to the heavenlies. And the thing of it is, we got to realize that we ain't body at all, really. We're soul, and our soul comes from God. It was actually made out of His body. It came out of Him. And a lot of people say, you know, have you heard these teenagers get mad and they say, "I'll sell my soul to the devil," all that stuff.
Yeah.
Your soul is not yours. God owns your soul because it came from Him.
That's right.
And He has a right to call us anytime He needs us. It's like there's a specific. A lot of us would like to be called to do ministry you know, many times, but it ain't our time. When it's our time to do ministry, to do our job, he calls us. And it may be in a dream like you had, or he may speak to us. But a lot of times we think our dreaming is like, I mean, it's so many different things. I mean, I've heard people talk about, I've heard about ministers being took from place to place, like the disciples, like in Acts, when like one of the disciples was took to preach to the African king, I think it was, and he was completely took off the ground and reappeared in front of the king at the right place because he was needing to testify about Jesus to him to get that king saved. And then when his time was up, he disappeared back to where he was. It's like God was moving chess pieces around. But he has many different amazing things. And what they was talking about, I've heard people talking about this, in the end days when the prophets come up, he's going to move us like that.
Right.
To testify to people. We're going to reappear one place and be took another place. And wherever he needs us. But we see this stuff, I'll say, on TV. We think it's sci-fi. We don't think it's the real thing, but it is real. It's so real. This whole world, they say this whole world's in the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God, everything has got, a lot of people don't understand this, but everything has God. God is in it. But the enemy, the so-called enemy, is controlling the things on it. But God is only allowing him to do this. He thinks he's going to pass God, and it got the upper hand, but he don't.
No, he don't.
That's what's so funny. When you start seeing a demonic thing doing, it's funny because he thinks he's got the upper hand, but then when you get your big boy pants and you know that you're a child of God,
yeah,
you have the authority over that. And that thing has no authority over you. And you know that. You know where you are in God. A lot of us don't know where we are in God yet. And once we know where we are in God, and we know the Holy Spirit's in us, and we know that God's working in us, and we know that we are a child of God, that changes the whole picture. That changes the whole picture.
That's
and
right.
then we pick up that authority, and then everything else is funny to us because we know ain't no nobody bigger than our Father. Who's going to mess with our Father, man? You know?
Yeah.
It makes everything else funny. But, I just a piece there he was talking about this kind of brought the Holy Spirit wanting to speak something about that. But, Mark, tell us a little bit about, you know, you said you saw an angel in church or something before.
I've kind of got my outline there, and I'll, if I go along with that there. There's a few details,
okay.
I made my first recording, of course, in 1998. I did a lot of local concerts, and then I got a prophecy in my home church, and this was from my pastor, and anyone local that might be listening, they would know who I'm talking about, Pastor Skane, a real man of God. I mean, this guy really had the mind of God. I mean, he moved in the Spirit. But in the prophecy, this is briefly what he said. This is just the beginning, and this was, like I said, it was back quite a few years back now, long before YouTube. This is just the beginning. He said that I'd be a household name, and I would sing my songs myself. The other people wouldn't sing my songs. Well, they could if they wanted to, but I would be singing my songs. It would be worldwide, and it wouldn't be just on the radio, but television. I couldn't imagine, but I believed the prophecy. I really did, but I had no idea whatsoever how that would come to pass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got another confirmation from another minister, it's been an amazing journey. It really has, the way that God has led, and what you were mentioning about the angel, that was another time here, and I was I was singing at this church, one of these concerts that I would go to, and it was a really good service. I mean, there was a lot of prophecies. People were getting a lot of prophecies kind of thing, and I was up front, and I was praying to myself. I said, Lord, you know, it's been a long time since I've received a personal prophecy myself. That'd be kind of neat to get a prophecy. But then, you know, I got to thinking, that's kind of selfish of me, because the Lord speaks to me quite a lot, you know, in other ways. And I thought it over, and then I said, well, Lord, don't give me a prophecy, but give someone else a prophecy instead. I just pray that you want to. Anyway, the service went on, and I didn't receive any prophecy or anything like that. And I was carrying my music, my guitar and everything, out of the church, and everyone was pretty much gone. And I met this older gentleman in the back of the church, and he came up to me, and it was really different. He came up to me, like I said, there wasn't anyone else around, and he said, he just made small talk, and then he said, you know, you would think that someone like yourself, I mean, you go around singing a lot, and you that's your ministry, you would think someone like yourself would have received a prophecy tonight, because it was a really good service, you know. And, you know, this man was saying just about everything that was on my mind when I was up front. And then he said, you know, sometimes God chooses to work like that, you know, to give you a prophecy. But sometimes he chooses to send an angel instead. And, you know,
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah, he started to prophesy. And this is some of the things that he said. He immediately started to prophesy, and he said that my opportunities were about to vastly increase, and my audiences would be much, much greater. And the last thing he said was, when I least expected it, I would be visited by angels, you know. And it was just, I was so amazed when I left there. And I mean, I believe this was an angel that I was talking to, you know. But after, you know, after that happened, you know, actually my opportunities to minister and to sing and that kind of thing, they started to diminish. And you know, I was beginning to wonder, but I still believed. I believed that God was going to make a way, you know. But then I sung at this other church, and this man had a vision while I was singing, and he told me after the service, and he said, you know, while you were singing, I had a vision of you, and I could see you in a marketplace somewhere, but yet you weren't handy to people, but you were singing to them, but yet they seemed to be far away, but yet they were close. And he said that while I was singing, that they were getting saved. They were accepting Christ. And then I received also from another minister in another church, he basically told me the same thing. It wasn't a vision he had, but it was just he felt to prophesy to me, you know.
Yeah. That kind of sounds like to me that you have an anointed voice. Anointed.
Yeah, that's. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, if people really knew me, I am very humble, and I give God all the glory, and only the Holy Spirit could do these things, you know.
It's kind of amazing because there's a lady that I listen to quite a bit. Her name's Julie True, and she has an anointed voice too. And
yeah.
there's many folks, and I think you're one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And you hold a frequency in your voice that God has a specific. Now, there's many people that sing, but they don't have anointed voices like the special children of God that He has actually anointed. He has anointed people for healing. He's anointed them for speaking, anointed them for many different things. And that means that when somebody speaks that has an anointed voice or sings with an anointed voice, that God will heal them while they're listening to them, or God will speak to them while they're listening to them. And it doesn't matter what type of music they sing. I mean, they could be sitting there just singing Mary Has a Little Lamb, and that voice with that anointing to it will touch them. It's just they got that specific voice. And I think that is what you have. You have that anointed voice. And I think if you would actually just get some people in there and just say, you know, the Lord's going to touch you through my voice. Just listen to my songs, you know, and the Lord is going to touch you through this, and you'll see some healings going on. You'll see some people running to Christ and all type of things. But when more you was talking about that, I was like, he's got an anointed voice. And that's what it sounded to me. And there's not hardly many people. There's maybe a handful of people that has that.
Oh, God is so good. The Holy Spirit is just so awesome. He's so awesome.
Yeah.
And he's a lot closer than people realize. He's a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
He really speaks to me quite often every day, usually.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
But can you go into what was that you was talking to me the other night about? You was about the thing about you met Jesus one night. Jesus reappeared and showed you, that he was on your path.
Yeah, well, you know, after I saw this angel, things actually started to slow down. And you know, I was getting quite discouraged because of my age. You know, at the time I was approaching, you know, my late 40s. And I remember one morning going to work, and I just said this prayer real quick. And but you know, I pray every morning anyway. But I said, Lord, I'm so thankful for everything that you have done, and you've given me the job that I've always wanted, and the family, and I know you as my Lord and Savior, and all of these things. But there's one desire that that it seems like it's too late. It seems like it's not going to happen. You know, I had made recordings. I put out singles and different things like in Nashville and that kind of thing. But nothing seemed to really click. Nothing seemed to really work and really take off kind of thing. But in this prayer, I said, I just don't understand, Lord, why that you never made it work. Because I always wanted to sing for you. And, you know, he heard that prayer because I kind of have to tell a few of these things so that it kind of makes sense, you know. But then I received another prophecy after that, and this is leading up to seeing Jesus, you know. But in this other prophecy, this was a major prophecy. I mean, I was invited to sing for the Glow International, and that's a lot of, like, mostly women that meet together. You know, in case, for anyone that might not realize, but I was asked to sing there anyways, and I tell you, these ladies around here, I know, the Glow International, these ladies are very spiritual ladies. I mean, if anyone can hear from the Lord, these ladies can, because they're very on the money. But anyway, I sung there, and this lady walked up to me, and she gave me a prophecy, and it was in such fine detail. Now, you got to remember, I was at the point of just about giving up with music. I was going to work at something else for the Lord, you know, and I received
this. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing how you find these people. They have this glory around them that the Lord has just been working through them so long.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It's so amazing. And then this lady, she walked up to me, and this is what she prophesied. And I tell you, it was God speaking through her, because this is what she said. We had been faithful to the call of God all of these years, and that my steps were ordered of the Lord. I was not to think small, and that's me, you know. I was thinking my own area around here, and I would not have to try to make it happen. That's what I did before. I was trying to make it happen. I wouldn't have to try to make it happen, but God was going to open the doors one after another. He was going to take me to the nations. Again, this is before YouTube, you know. He was going to take me to the nations. I would just have to take the steps. God was going to use me and my family to touch many. He was going to open a door that no man could shut. It wouldn't cost me anything. This wouldn't cost anything to go worldwide. I had no imagine, or I could not imagine what he was talking about, but I believed. And what it did cost me, he would provide. And he just said, make sure you go through the door when the time comes, and it won't be that hard to do. And this is all leading up to seeing Jesus. So in this prophecy, and then another lady not long after that, she gave me another prophecy from the same group of ladies from the Igloo. She said that we were just before it. I couldn't imagine, but I believed. I believed it, but I was so discouraged at the time, but yet I believed. And, you know, it was only about 3 days before it actually happened. And what happened after these prophecies, and I knew I was just before it, I had absolutely no idea. I had no places to sing much. I had no idea what it was. But you know, the Lord spoke to me very strongly that we needed to get a new computer anyway, because our computer was very slow. So I went, and I, to make a long story short, I'm really condensing this story, but I went and I purchased a new computer, but the Lord spoke to me it needed to be really fast. For some reason, it had to be a fast computer, you know, for doing work on the computer. I had no idea. But I got the computer. We still just had landline connection on just through the phone line, so it was so slow, the internet service. But I brought the computer home, but you know, before I left the store, he spoke to me that this computer has everything to do with the ministry. I was flabbergasted. I had no idea, but yet I believed him. I believed, Lord, I believe you, but I can't imagine how. But I got that computer home, and I recorded. I took my video camera because I found a software on the computer like that you could upload videos. I've never done that before, so I made my first video, and I thought, well, I'd like to record that song that I wrote, He'll Be Your Closest Friend. So I recorded that song. I didn't think anything much of it. I put it on the computer, and I played around with it, and I made a video. And I was just, God put all this stuff in front of me, and basically I was starting to trip over it because I just couldn't see it. But I made this song, and I had it all finished, and I thought, well, you know, I've never been on YouTube very much, but, you know, I think maybe sometime I might take that and upload that. People talk about uploading videos. I'm going to try that. I thought, well, maybe sometime. I was in no hurry whatsoever. It was that night. It was that night that God gave me a dream. And in this dream, I have this Jewish friend. And people locally, they know who I'm talking about when I say Larry. But my friend Larry, my Jewish friend, and I consider him a prophet. He in this dream, he came to my house. He was in my house, and he took me. Now, again, you got to remember that in that prophecy from the Igloo, when I was just to make sure that I go through the door when I come to it. Well, in this dream, I just finished the video that night before, and in this dream, my prophet friend, Larry, he takes me by the arm, and he leads me. I try to say this without getting emotional, but you'd have to see these things. God is so great. But he took me by the arm, and he took me very quickly to the door. That's the door. He took me to the door by the arm, and I was to go through that door. And I opened that door up, and it was dark outside, and I started going through that door. And I looked out, and I saw a neon sign in this dream. And this sign, it said, Jesus, come. And underneath this sign, with my hand on a stack of Bible, I got my Bible right here, and my hand is right on it. Jesus was standing under that sign, and he beckoned me to go through the door. So I just the night before I finished that video, I had this dream. Jesus is beckoning me to come through that door. And I said right there, well, I'm going to have to take that song and upload that somehow. So I went out to the town that's handy to where I live, and I went to the library, and I had no idea how to upload a video, but I was having a hard time. But I said, Lord, I need your help because I can't seem to make this work. And inside of 20 minutes, I had that video, and it was live on YouTube. And that was, if you go to my channel page, and anyone that's interested, if they just get on the internet and on Google, if they just type my name in, Mark Murchison, you know, the first thing that you'll come to is my channel page. If you click onto that, and if you look around a little bit, you'll find that the first video that I put out, of course, is that song, He'll Be Your Closest Friend. I'm really condensing this story because there is a lot more to it. God is so great. He is so great, and the things that he's done is just, I couldn't do anything if it wasn't for him. This is all good.
Amen.
All good.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah.
But how many people has really gave you comments back on YouTube? I mean, how many people has really let you know how you've touched their lives on YouTube? Have they seen you comments or emails, or how's that been going?
Oh, my goodness. Again, to God be all the glory. But I really have no idea how many people or how many comments. Yeah, the last time I checked, I mean, you can go into analytics and you can find out information on your videos, you know. But the last time I checked, it's been I've had videos played in over 150 nations, and it's over 150,000 views, I guess, or 160, I'm not sure, but comments, I mean, I've gotten the nicest comments from people, and I just thank God for these people. They just don't know how much these comments mean to me. I'm just so happy for what God is doing, you know. And again, I'm just the reason why God does these things. He promotes certain people, but the reason why He does is because of faithfulness, you know. And I feel to say this, you know, there's people that are listening to me right now, and what, God, how come you didn't do this for me? Why aren't you doing things for me? It might not be YouTube. It might be something else in your life. But why aren't you doing these things? Let me tell you something. God rewards faithfulness. And it doesn't matter
Amen.
How small your ministry is. If you do it with joy and with happiness, if you go, whether it's singing or whether if you're a teacher in the Sunday school or whatever you're doing for Jesus, you might be just talking to people, witnessing once in a while, but if you're faithful and if you don't complain, He doesn't like complaining, but as long as you don't complain and if you do it with joy, He rewards faithfulness. He really does.
Amen.
He absolutely does.
I know of a minister friend of mine that she was she was separated from her husband or something, and she had two children, and she didn't know what to do, and she got in an accident one day, and an angel spoke to her and told her, said, you know, was helping her through the accident and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And she asked God, she was like, what can I do? I mean, what are you there? What do you want me to do? And the Lord told her, said, go teach Sunday school. She's like, I don't know how to teach. You'll figure it out. And she went from teaching Sunday school to teaching adults to she went to a church college.
Yeah, there
and then,
you go.
A couple years after that, she became a professor there.
Praise God. See, God's got to start somewhere, doesn't He? I mean, in a person's life. You know, you've got to start somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing. And she was a teacher to me, too, at points in time. But it's amazing to see how God works in people's lives, and it's normally when we least expect it.
Oh yeah.
The more we're wanting it to happen, the more we're trying to make it happen, the less it will.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're better off to just be happy, no matter what your situation. And this isn't just the ministry either. It's your needs, your things that you need in life. And God has blessed me with so many testimonies, but personal needs. I mean, you have bills that you need to pay. You have no money, and you have no idea where the money's going to come from. I tell you what, God really loves to see. He loves to see you trust Him no matter what, and to be happy and joyful. And when you start singing, and praising God, well, that's when you might be at the darkest point in your life, but when you start praising and worshiping God, He just has ways of bringing you right out on top. He really does. I can feel His presence.
What's so amazing is it ain't really that we're bringing Him to us. We're actually bringing ourselves to Him.
Exactly.
Because when we're speaking to Him, that's when the main thing's going, and we're bringing ourselves to Him.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of things we're thinking that we've got to bring God to us. He's already everywhere. He's already in us.
He's
already everywhere.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just trying to bring that shield down where He can actually speak to us. And I remember back in my ministerial days, I'm still a minister, but back when I was being trained,
and we was
taught that we have like a coffee ground over our head. All the crap that we've learned in our childhood, all the bad things, is all the stuff that the Lord has to go through.
Yeah.
All of our negative things we watched on TV, all the negative things our parents told us, He's got to fit through that to touch our hearts.
Yeah.
And the more we sing, we break in coffee grounds up. We clean them up because He sent His grace to clean that up. Where them coffee grounds that was in our head is gone, and He can speak clearly through us.
Yeah.
And that's why it's very important for us to watch what we're watching, be careful what we're watching, be careful what we're putting in our minds, because
exactly.
we're hindering ourselves from God.
Yeah. And, like the scripture says, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, you're not gonna I wouldn't in any way want to sound condemning to people. None of us are perfect, But if we really mean it, if we're really walking with the Lord and we really mean it, we're trying our very best to live according to His commandments. He really does listen to people like that much, much quicker than, the people that are, they know they're not trying,
Yeah.
It's very, very important.
It's amazing, too, how you speak about the love of God and how the Holy Spirit pops up and starts revealing Himself to you.
Yeah. Oh, He does that all the time. I can be talking right along and He'll pop a scripture or a word of knowledge or just a word for somebody. I told people about this show today, but the video before that, that's an answer to prayer, because I was coming home from work and I was thinking, well, I need to make a video tonight, but I don't want to put out just any old thing. And I prayed that the Holy Spirit would, I said, precious Holy Spirit, please, when I get on there to make a video, I don't want to say just anything. I want to be led by You, and You have Your way, and this is what He told me. He said, don't premeditate what you're going to say, but just hit the record button, and I'll give you the words. That's the step of faith. But he's faithful. I mean, I remember that I came home, and while I'm doing, and of course I have to think a little bit about what I'm going to talk about, but I'll get on there and I'll be telling people about stuff, But then something will really stick out to me, and the Holy Spirit will speak to me, a song or whatever, and I'll bring it. And I know that it's for somebody out there. I just know that it is, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny the other night, and I don't know if this is kind of off the subject or not, but...
Go ahead, man.
I prayed the other night, like I was telling you on the phone the other day. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks to me differently now than he did so much the other way before. Like, I used to get a lot of dreams, an awful lot of dreams. But now it's words of knowledge, songs. Now it's impressions, very strong impressions. And he speaks any time of the day when I least expect it a lot of times. But anyways, the other night I was going to bed, and I said this prayer, and honestly, I said, Lord, I would appreciate it if you gave me a dream tonight. That'd be nice to have a dream. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't have said that, because the Holy Spirit spoke right back to me. If I can think of the scripture, my brain is locked up. Sorry, everyone. I'll think of the scripture in a minute. I'll think of the scripture. I should have wrote it down, but I wasn't planning on bringing this, you know. But
I had something unique the other night too. I was like, Lord, I said, I saw you, you know, in my own certain way, but I said, I want to see you in all your glory. I said, I want to see you in a dream. And I don't know whether it was a point that I couldn't really foretake all the glory that he had, but he showed me a king with a crown on it.
Yeah.
There was a throne, and it looked like a king with a big crown.
Yeah.
And if you really think in Revelations, that don't happen until he's taken the throne of this world. See, the Father has the throne of this world right now. But
yeah.
In Revelations, it's handed over to Christ.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's worthy of it.
That's right.
So, I saw this king with a crown, and to me, it's representing to me that he's taken over.
That's right.
And, it was kind of unique. I never saw, like you said, it's very, very clear. I mean, it was kind of like watching an HD movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like HD, and I just saw a clip of a king. I've never saw a king before. I saw him on TV. I've never been to England. I'm a southern boy. I'm from North Carolina, and I'm a fisherman, and I like to do the southern stuff. So I've never really saw this, but it was like clear. It was like a king on a throne. He had this big old crown. Looked kind of like an English crown or something, but it was unique, and it meant so much to me. And I was like, Lord, you heard my prayer, and thank you for what I got to see. And
I can only imagine anyone listening that you've never had experiences like this, and you know that there are people, you know, they can be quite critical, you know, but all I can say is I can't say is I blame you, you know, I can't blame anyone for being critical, because if I never experienced these things, and like what you're mentioning about the visions and things like that, if I never experienced these kind of things, you know, I would be quite skeptical myself. But experiencing these things, you just have to experience these things to know. I mean, you know it's from God. You know it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
for sure.
And one thing I've told people is how you know a word of knowledge is not so-called from the enemy or some psychic, and it's actually from a prophet. I tell them when they get a word of knowledge, the word of Christ has a vibrational frequency. And when it touches a human soul, there's a healing, a transformation will go to them when that word of knowledge is released to them.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody's giving a prophecy and there's a healing or a transformation going on in your soul, that was from Jesus.
Yeah.
But if you're getting a word of some so-called psychic is giving you something and it's no transformation going on there, and it's, you know, something real bad. And I mean, sometimes the Lord can give you a word of knowledge to warn you.
He sees things way
ahead of you. You still can get a transformation and a healing from that word of knowledge. And I've got one from for this lady at work I worked with long about a couple months ago, and warned her about something, and her production at her work went up 50% after she got Word of Knowledge. I was like, I never saw that happen before, but it indicated to me between a word of knowledge from the Lord and the word of, and some type of prediction from a psychic. It's a different. It's how it transforms. See, everything that God does has glory. It has love to it. Anything that comes from the enemy has a destruction and a dullness to it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how you can find the difference.
You can know them by their fruits. You know, of course, the Bible clearly tells us the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of righteousness, you know, love, joy, peace, and all of these. But a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit. It's just impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I remember what it was now. I was mentioning, you know, I wanted to get a dream or something like that, and I remember now the scripture. I'm not going to ask for a dream or anything like that anymore because he spoke right back real quick. He said, "The just shall live by faith."
Yeah,
and it was kind of a correction, you know. But, you know, and it's very important to live by faith, and not that it's bad to have a dream, but the way that I am is if the Lord wants to show me something in a dream, I'm going to try to be patient and just let him do it. I'm not, you know, I can't say I'll never ask for another one, I guess, again, but he likes us to live by faith, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a lot of prophecies going to be coming your way. And like I told you the other day when I was speaking to you, I saw the number 3, and I don't know if there's something that's already done. It could be 3 more prophecies coming to you. I don't know. It's not for me to know. It's between you and the Lord, you know. And
I was thinking of that, actually, because since you told me that, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but just to throw this in, You mentioned that to me, and I had 3 prophecies, the 3 major prophecies that I wanted to tell today, and I thought of you when I wrote those down. I said, "Well, goodness, that's 3 prophecies, 3 major ones," and that's what Stan mentioned the other night. So, you know.
Okay.
Read on.
What did the Lord give you?
Pardon me.
So what did the Lord give you? What were the 3 prophecies?
Oh, the 3 prophecies were the ones that I shared, like the prophecy of my home church from my pastor, Pastor Skane. And,
oh, yeah, the ones that he gave you. Okay.
The 3 different prophecies that I told about today, there, you know, it's the 3 major ones, you know.
It could be. But it's amazing how the Lord will signify of things to bring clarity of someone or something, because normally when the Lord speaks, he won't let you go until you get it.
Yeah, that's right.
And the thing about that is the Lord is truth. He's nothing but truth, but the enemy can never make up his mind. He's always changing his mind because he's in anarchy. He just keep on trying to find ways to get you. So if he gives you a prophecy, the enemy gives you a prophecy, it'll be something different next time. Then the next time will be something different. That's how you can tell the difference between the enemy and the Lord, because the Lord will be the same thing, very strong. And if you don't get it the first time, he'll make it even stronger the next time.
Yeah. And the enemy sometimes will give you a dream, and he'll try to imitate. Mm-hmm. He'll try to imitate God. I've had this happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm probably saying this for somebody out there. I've had that happen different times. He'll try to imitate and come to you in a dream and try to steer you or try to convince you of something. And it's just, he can't do it. It's so obvious. I don't know why he tries, but it's so obvious that it's not of God. It's just not of God. The devil is the complete opposite of God, you know, and he there's no way he can't fool a child of God, you know.
Yeah. But the thing of it is, it takes that clarity to somebody that has been with the Lord quite a bit.
Right.
Now, if you just became a Christian, and you don't really pray that much, you don't really keep that communication with the Lord, you could get confused quickly and make the wrong decision. That's why it's very important to stay in meditation with the Lord, ask for the Lord to show his glory, to work through you. And that way you will know the presence of the Lord. And it's very critical at this time because the enemy is really bunching it up to 100% because he knows his time is coming near. And he's trying to do all the things he can right now. And I was listening to Curry Blake. Well, it's Blake Curry. That's his last name. But anyway, he's an evangelist that travels around in this area. He works in signs and miracles and all that stuff. I don't know whether you've heard of him or not. But anyway, I went to one of his tent meetings and all that, and I went to a church just down here down the road, and they was talking about, now the Lord is taking people in busloads, because we just had a bus accident down here in our mountains not too long ago. I think it's down towards Boone or something.
Oh.
And she said, the Lord is taking them in busloads now. And I thought, no. Curry Blake said, he said that the enemy is taking was taking the Christians, he knows they're going to heaven. He knows that. He just wants to get them out of the way where he can get to the rest of them. So it's not that the Lord, I mean, I'm sure he would take them in busloads to bring them to his glory, but the enemy knows his time is up, and the less of us that he has around to testify to others, the better off he is.
That's right. Excuse me. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
That's fine, Mark. Go ahead, man.
I was just. It comes to me to just share just a quick experience, or just to tell people that no, this is different than, I'm not talking about my ministry or anything, God's ministry, but you might have a need or something. God would reveal to me different times when I was in extreme need. He would show me in a dream, and he would actually show me the exact amount for a check. And I had no job or anything like that. And he showed me at one time a place where I'd be working, that there would be 13 people working there. And he showed me the job that I would have, and it was, I could see sawdust and things like that. This was years ago. It was like some kind of a sawmill kind of thing, and he showed me, like I said, what I would be doing for a job filling in, but then he would show me exact check amounts, you know. He would show me all of these things. One time I had in another dream, he showed me I needed a job really bad, and he showed me a check for $184. This was back when $184 would buy something. But he showed me this, and, you know, I had no idea where I was going to get a job, and within just a few weeks, I had this job, and my first check was $184, you know. So it's been one miracle. I've got so many testimonies that I wouldn't know where to begin with personal testimonies, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I know. It was like a couple of years ago that I'll say about, well, I've been in the lawn care business for about 6 years now, and I was wanting to start a little side business on the side to help support my family.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. I tried many different things. I tried the marketing online. I've tried a little bit of everything trying to, you know, make some money, you know. I've tried the eBay thing and all that stuff and trying to sell scooters online, and you know what I'm saying. But the Lord kept on showing me a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lord, I've already did that when I was a kid. Why would I want to do it now? You know? And, you know, you wrestle with God sometimes, and he knows you, and you're human, and he understands that. And, you know, prophets did that all through the Bible, you know. But anyway, I was like, why now? But anyway, me and my second wife got married, and father-in-law was like, what do you want? I said, I'll take a lawnmower, a riding mower. He's like, sure. And he went and got me a riding mower. I need one for my yard. And then I just got instant to just mow a few neighbors' yards, I did. And I got a little trailer put on there. And you know God has used that thing. I mean, I'm up to professional mowers now. I've got 10 yards now. And
wow.
I'm using that lawn care service to I have saved 3 to 4 people witnessing to them.
Yeah.
The Lord has healed people through me, and some of the people's work with me is I've got another minister buddy of mine that works with me, and he has used that business to witness to people.
Yeah.
Because I help elderly people, and they can't really afford much, so I give them a low price where they can afford to have their lawn mowed.
Right.
And plus I use the business to actually help people that have no jobs.
Yeah.
So it don't really benefit. I mean, it benefits me a little bit to help me with my family and bills and stuff, but it's basically to help others. And when
yeah.
you use your service or your business to help others, you will see it multiply. Once you get selfish with that business, the Lord
yeah.
will rip his cord away from it.
That's right.
You'll
yeah.
see it. You'll see it sink like a rock. It'll sink like a rock. But once you keep
yeah.
on doing it for his favor and what he wants it for, you'll see it rise to the top. And
yeah.
the Lord can, I mean, no matter if you are a businessman, he could use that to touch somebody. You could
yeah.
witness to an associate and get him saved that the Lord has probably been working for years trying to get to him. And you
yeah.
might be the seed to sow that. So you never know how the Lord is going to use you to witness to somebody. Just like yesterday, man, I was cleaning up leaves for this lady. Her husband has been ill for the whole year, and the leaves just
yeah.
got out of hand. They was needing somebody, and they hired me, and me and my buddy, and we went down there and cleaned it up.
Yeah.
And the lady was, she was kindly, I'll say, she was in a regular religious church. They never really taught about the Holy Spirit that much. They got
yeah.
baptized when they was young, kind of like I have. But they've never, I said, you've got to be born, you know, you get baptized and cleansed with water, and plus Christ baptizes you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so that scripturally, when John was talking about, he said, I baptize you with water, but there's one greater than me that will come baptize you with fire, which is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
I told her, and she's like, well, I've got everything, but I'm just missing something here in my heart. I'm just missing something. I said, you need to accept Christ fully. Make it a personal thing and accept Christ. She accepted Christ in her driveway.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit came and hit her heart. And she said, I feel something shaking. I just feel this cool breeze. I
yeah.
said, Christ has just entered your heart, lady.
Yeah.
And
she's like,
you're such a blessing to me. And I said, no, I'm not the blessing to you. Jesus is the blessing to you.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's awesome,
and
I tell you. Yeah.
It's just, you never know when something opens the door for you. You don't know what God has in store for you. You don't know who you're going to be able to testify to. You
yeah.
never know.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You know, Jesus, he did most of his works was, he didn't do them in the synagogue. He was out by the shore, seashore, or a lake, or he was just out and about, you know, sometimes visiting with people, and he did that's when he did a lot of his work, most of his work, you know. I
yeah.
really believe that that's what his will is as a Christian for us, is for any Christian, you know, to go outside of the church and to be a light to this world, you know, and not be afraid. Not be afraid to pray for somebody in public. Not be afraid
yeah.
to talk to people, you know. Oh, you don't want to talk down at them, you know, or anything like that.
Yeah.
But just one-on-one, hey, I'm no better than you. I'm just, I accepted Jesus into my heart, and he's cleansed me, and I'm at peace, you know.
Yep, and it don't take much to accept Christ. You just ask him and mean it from your
yeah.
heart. And he comes
yeah.
running. That's,
yeah.
that's all it takes to it.
Yeah, it's so easy, so simple. Yeah.
And religion has made it so hard that you have
yeah.
to go through, you know, all these different steps, and you've got to
yeah.
to do the hokey pokey and dance all around and
yes.
and listen to five different elders and you know they
oh, yeah.
that is what that's what they call the spirit of religion.
Yeah. Well, don't you suppose
you
that's just what the devil wants, you know? He wants, if he can get people so religious that they stay in the cocoon church and not take the message of the gospel beyond that, you know, that's just what the enemy wants. You know, the gospel message is so simple, and I was going to say that, but I was about to say the same thing as what you said. Religion is just... It's like the biggest hindrance to the gospel, to the truth. A lot of times, is the dead religion. You know,
the
sad truth. Yeah.
And I think some of the underground churches have more power than some of these multi churches.
Oh yes,
And I know I was listening to Stephen Brooks, and he's saying, you know, you don't see as many miracles happen in these churches as you do. You see these churches in China that they're underground. They're not allowed to see things. He said, he has went overseas and saw these people pray for a meal and it reappear on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how powerful it is.
Yeah.
But,
we might have to believe for that here before it's done, you know.
Yeah. But it's just God showing His power and what He has to do for you, and it's pretty amazing. Well, Mark, I'm gonna go ahead and say a prayer for everybody here, and I normally do a healing prayer. And what I'm gonna do, anybody that is sick, that does not feel good, that has problems, I'm gonna pray for all of y'all right now. And I want to thank everybody for coming here today and listening to Mark, and he said some great things and. I'm sure it touched everybody here. And I'm going to go ahead and say my healing prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this day for bringing all these people here.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Heavenly Father, I want to I'll ask you to heal everybody that needs transformation today.
Yes.
I see somebody's got a hearing problem. I'm saying that will be healed in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Somebody have a problem with speech, that's being healed now in Jesus' name.
In the name of
Jesus. I don't know whether somebody ain't seeing things, ain't thinking things out right, or something's going on with their head, that's being healed in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
There's somebody has leg problems, that's being healed now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
There's arm problems, somebody's having problems with shoulders or arms, that's going to be healed in Jesus' name, that's being healed now in Jesus' name. Somebody with a stomach, a large intestine problem, I don't know whether exactly what it is, but God is transforming that now in Jesus' name. Somebody's sight is having problems. Somebody's sight. I've never had all these things come out at one time during a prayer, but it is now. I get some more people listening.
Yeah.
But somebody's sight is being transformed. Let's see. This is strange, but somebody's toe. Somebody's having a problem with their toe. I don't know whether a accident happened, but that's being transformed in Jesus' name right now. And Father, I want to thank you for all these healings you're doing today. I'm sure the Holy Spirit is going to touch them. It's going to transform them through this program. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
Anybody here today that hasn't accepted the Lord? I mean, they've been to church and they've not really accepted the Lord at all. And I really ask Him into our heart, like me and Mark was talking a while ago. You've got to accept Him in your heart. And it doesn't matter how flusy you say it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times you got some of the religions tell you, well, you've got to say this sinner's prayer and you've got to say this just right. It doesn't take that. It just takes a simple prayer to ask Him into your heart. And if you want to accept the Lord right now, just follow along with me and say this prayer, and He will come running to your heart. My prayer is no better than anybody else's. It's just one that I normally use. But all thing you got to say is just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. I accept that you rose again for me. Show me life. I accept the blood that you shed for me to cleanse from my sins. Lord, I ask you to take my sins from me now. I ask you to take home within my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to live within my heart. I ask everybody to put their hands over their heart and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you just said this prayer right now, the Lord Jesus has just came to your heart. He's your Lord and Savior for eternity. It ain't just a one-time deal. It's a forever deal. And that's one prayer that will change your life, and you'll see amazing things happen in your life. He'll lead you to the right church. He'll do all type of things you'll see happening in your life. I mean, you'll see transformations going on. But I'd like to thank you again, Mark, for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Maybe we'll have you come in some other time. We can speak with you, and you can be a co-host or something. Be very cool. But,
yeah. I sure appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. It was more of a privilege to have you come on the show today and hear all the ways that the Lord touched you. And it's been a good one, man. And we're going to go ahead and start with the song. I'm going to close the show. And y'all can access this show anywhere on Blog Talk. Just go to the archives, and you can pick this show up and share it if you want to. And I do ask if, share this show with other people. Share the Healing Light show with other people, and let it be known where the Lord can touch many people with this show. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.